Hello and welcome. This is a talk about Vim, and I'm super excited to be here, and I'm very happy that we see each other in person. And I want to share today some of my experience that I have been taking with Vim, my journey with Vim. First of all, some quotes to my presentation setup. On the right side, I have my slides prepared. On the left side, I have a terminal open where I will show you things directly in Vim, show some examples. And additionally, from time to time, I will also switch to the slides because the slides are written in some Markdown. They are built directly. And when I'm changing something in the slides, it may take a few seconds until you see it on the right side. A short overview for the talk. What we are going to look at is Vim. Vim is a powerful text editor. I guess most of you have seen it sometime, have used it sometime. What's special about it is that you can edit text efficiently. So you can train yourself and learn that you can make changes without thinking about them. And another thing that is really awesome with Vim is that you can automate things. You can make repetitions very straightforwardly, also again without thinking about it. And this is what I want to show you today. My personal background with him, basically, before Vim, I was working with Kate. If you don't know Kate, Kate is the KDE Advanced Text Editor. And the advanced stands for that it has code highlighting. That's basically the only feature it got. And I was working with it because I was mostly working in Shell and needed something minimalistic. And I had a bet with some working colleague, and I lost the bet, so I had to switch to Vim, which was really not so much fun at the beginning. But it really turned out great for me because I'm stuck with it now, I guess, like for 15 years. Before we dive into Vim, I want to ask you to imagine that the scenario where we're in our workshop, we want to make some woodworking. We want to cut some wood into some pieces. For this scenario, for sure, we will drive to some tool shop and we will buy a brand new saw and then go back to our workshop. And the first thing that we will do is probably not take the saw and cut it into pieces, but before we will take the saw, put it away, and then we will do some measuring, and we will prepare the wood that we can get the most exact result that we want to achieve. As we are done with the measuring, we will go back, take our saw again, and then we will cut away. Basically, this is very similar how you work with Vim. Vim is a text editor that does utilize the keyboard in much more ways. It uses modes, and you constantly switch between these modes. The most simple to understand is the insert mode. This is like with any other text editor, you just everything that you type on your keyboard will appear on the screen. That's it. That's the insert mode. But beyond, we have, for example, the normal mode, which, as the name suggests, is the default mode of Vim. When we are in the normal mode, then the keys on the keyboard get some different meaning. So when you type along, it does not appear on the screen, but it does something. And we use it to manage text, and we use it to navigate around. Another mode that we will have a look into is the command mode, which is basically things that you do not do that much. So for example, save the file. You can do it with shortcuts or something. That is fine, but You probably don't want to have it in normal mode. So you switch the context, and then you can save a file, exit the program, or apply some search and replace. There are some other modes, but the insert normal and command mode are probably most used. One thing we will also see is the visual mode, which is basically just marking some text or highlighting some text. So let's have a direct look. I start the Vim. I use some argument minus minus clean. I hope you can see it, otherwise I can enlarge it one time. Does it work for you? Or is that better? Okay. So I add the argument minus minus clean because I have some configurations for Vim, but with minus clean it will don't use any of my configurations, so it's clean as you use it when you install it on your operating system of choice. And okay, let's edit some file test text. And when I start Vim, I'm in normal mode. And this is probably most of one of the most confusing things for people starting with Vim, because now if I type something, nothing appears on the screen. Until I press I, and I is the command that I switch into insert mode. When I press I, then on the bottom left side, you see insert as a hint that you're in insert mode. And if I type now along, everything appears on the screen until I press escape. And when I'm in escape, the insert disappears and I'm in normal mode again. From here, I can now manage the text, move along in my file, or for example, I can save it, which I do with double point. Then I'm in command mode. And the command mode, again, on the bottom left, you see double point, and now I can type along some command. So let's, for example, type right. You can also just write W. And when I press enter, then it tells me test.txt has been written. It tells me even how many bytes it used. So now, as I entered my command, it switched automatically back into normal mode. And from normal mode, we will switch to another mode. This is the visual mode. So press V. And from here, I can move along and visualize some part of my text and edit it later. If I press escape again, I'm in normal mode. Funny thing here is that it tends to be quite popular that if you start Vim and you have no idea what's going on, you even cannot quit it. And so there's an old saying that if you don't know anything about modes, then Vim is basically just a password generator. So for example, if I would go here and an empty file, and I would start typing like, why is nothing appearing on the screen? Then it starts starts with the S, because when I type why is nothing, then you see that the I is the first command that switches into insert mode. And from there, people are usually stuck, because then probably some people will try Control-C. Control-C has the same effect than pressing escape, and you switch back to normal mode, and from there you're stuck again. Maybe someone will type exit. With exit, you end up that E does something, X removes some character. I will switch again back to insert mode. I type a T, and you see it starts to get cluttery and messing my file up. The proper way to quit is in command mode. So if we are in normal mode, we press double point. We can the shortcut is Q. You can type quit. If I try to quit, it will tell me that like in LightKits is very common in editors that they tell you there are unsafe changes, so I cannot quit as well. So the thing is, you have to type quit and an exclamation mark. To remember the actions you can do in normal mode, Vim has some kind of strategy. It uses mnemonics, which is basically in German Gedächtnisstütze or Eselsbrücke. So the most keys will have some idea behind that you can easily think of. For example, we want to insert some text, so we use an I. We want to visualize some text, so we use V. If we want to move around, I will switch to the slides. If I want to move around, for example, I'm here at this line with we want to visualize, and I press W, then the cursor jumps one word. I can press it again. Here you see there's some special characters, so Vim does not recognize it as a complete word, but will split it up. Just press more and you jump always one word further. Beyond this, there are many more of these navigational commands. So as we have moved one word, we can also move to the end of the word, which makes only a small difference, because if I move one word, I press W now, and I jump to the next word. Again, if I press to the end of a word, I'm always jumping just to the last character of a word. If I press B, I move back a word. So I can now quite magically move beyond words if I remember those. Just to show you an additional, quite powerful example, we can also jump in a line to some character. This is with find, so find some character in the current line. And this happens by pressing F, and with F, any character that we want. So this goes out of the normal mode, and we can choose any character that we want to jump to. For example, let's jump to the E here, F, I, and I'm in the middle of our text. Or let's choose T, find T, then I'm here, I can press again, find T, jump to the next T, find T to the next T. Unfortunately, not every command on the keyboard can have some mnemonic, but still the most useful ones will have some, and some other are pretty easy to remember. For example, we can press X to cross out or delete some character under the cursor. Pretty easy to remember. X just deletes what is below the cursor. We can use zero, the caret, and the dollar symbol to jump quickly in between a line. Just to get sure, the difference between beginning and the start of text is if the line is indented, then I can choose with zero, I jump to the beginning of a line. With caret, it is the beginning of text, and with dollar, I jump to the end of the text. One additional thing with Vim is that you want to try to use your keyboard only and not switch to the mouse, just to highlight something or to move things around. And for that reason, you even want to keep your keys always at your fingertips, and even don't jump to the arrow keys to move around. For that reason, Vim uses H, J, K, and L to move around. So with H, I move forward, with J, I move down, K up, and L I move the cursor to the right side. This is optional for sure. You can also use the arrow keys, they work the same ways, but after some time you get really used to it, and you will see a lot of other Unix tools use this approach as well, so is a good thing to do. For me, I had a working colleague, which I was working in a bear programming session for a while, and he was really crazy about how I use Vim, and he had never seen it before, and he really went fancy, and most of the time we were just talking, how did I do this change, and he wanted to know so much things. And then the next day when I came to work, I visited him at his working place, and I saw this on his keyboard, and I knew he started to learn Vim. So now that we've learned to navigate around, we see that the first power that we have achieved with this, we can combine commands. So now with, let's jump here. Okay, I can now combine D, which is delete, with our word movement. So if I simply delete the word if I type DW. For sure, I can also do it somewhere else. And the best thing is that I can use it with any movement. So for example, I can delete just to the end of a word, which in this case for sure leaves us with two spaces because I just cut it at the E of sum. Another cool thing, I can delete backwards. So you see there's not much difference, but as you go along, you get really, really used to these things, and you think about, oh, I don't want this word that I have before where I'm at the moment, and you just type DB because you don't think about it. Additionally, you can go much further with your combinant. Here I brought up some example, and with the things we learned so far, we can already read the command that is executed up there, because zero goes to the beginning of a line, which is always a good thing if you want to edit this line from scratch. Then we're going to delete it until we find a character A. So it's if you get a bit used to it, it's pretty easy to read and understand what is meant by the keystroke you're taking in normal mode. So let's execute it with this example sentence down there, and we press zero. Okay, let's go somewhere in between that. We see that we jump to the beginning. So with zero, we jump to the beginning of a line. We ensure that we start there. We delete until we find an A, and it deletes the characters here. You can compare these keystrokes, because basically what we want to achieve is using less keystrokes to achieve something, to achieve our goal. And for that, some Vim users talk about the golf score, because in the sport golf, you try to have as less hits to finish a track as possible, and this is basically the same thing. And for this example, for sure, we have a golf score of 4 because we needed 4 keystrokes. There's even quite some community that tries to share challenges where you have some starting scenario and where you want to edit your text and with some outcome. And people try to find the lowest score possible using Vim with no configuration. This is quite some fun, a screenshot of vimgolf.com where you can see such examples. The thing is, if you look at these examples, this is not efficient. This is just, they want to have the lowest score, but it does not mean that it's the most easiest. A lot of examples there will be some regular expressions in search and replace. So this is probably not something you do without thinking. Now we have already seen that we can combine words. We have seen DEW, which deletes a word. We have seen DE, which deletes until the end of a word. We have seen DB, which deletes back one word. DF, delete, find, until you find some specific character. Then something that is super useful is $dollar, because most of the time when you're typing something and you write your text and you figure out, okay, this the sentence starts good but it ends terrible, you want to delete something and just adapt it to something else. And $dollar is, you will use it so many times that it even has a shorthand. It is uppercase D. Then you delete the until the end of the line. For example, if I'm here in this example and I press D, then it removes the rest of the line, which is the same if $dollar that I typed now does the same. Very similar, DD deletes one line. It's DD, not DL, because DL would be DD and move the cursor one to the right. But DD is a good thing because you're already on the D with your finger and pressing it again costs not that much time. The difference between uppercase D and DD is that if you're in the middle of some line and I press DD, then I remove that line completely. So another command that we can combine is C. C is pretty similar to delete. The difference is if you want to change some word or think of replace some word, you probably want to enter some text, which if you delete it, it would be delete word and then enter insert mode. And change word is the same than the command above, but it saves you one keystroke. So you see, it's all things in Vim are just to get less typing. And this works really great if you get used to it. So change word, I just change the delete here and it enters the insert mode and I can type along. Same thing, we can combine it, we can say change until the end of a word, change back a word, change until you find some character, change dollar, here the same principle, it has a shorthand, the shorthand is just the uppercase version of it, and we can also change a whole line if we are somewhere in the middle with pressing CC. Sometimes you may not be sure what a command will actually do, and instead of trying it out, it is a good thing to just use the visual mode. So in visual mode, before the change gets applied, you just see what's going to be affected. So for example, we have here, we can read it again, find until the character W, then switch to visual mode with V, then we have three times move to the end of a word, then we have the delete command, and afterwards we still have some character left that we want to get rid of, and that is that we remove this with pressing X. So in our example sentence we have four times the word which we want to get rid of, so we find until the word, then our cursor is at the word, we change to visual mode, and, then we press D, now it gets removed, and we see, okay, we're back in normal mode, but we still have some character left. Most easy thing to do is just pressing X, and we're fine. The real power with this handling and actions is that Vim has some techniques to repeat stuff and to play it again. And any action that we have taken so far, we can use the dot command. And this dot command, the only thing that is do is the last action that we did, it will do again. Most easy to understand if we do some example. we have here 1, 2, 2, 4, 5. We want to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What we're going to do is we go into the line, then we press WW, which goes along two words. Then we change until the end of a word. We type in 3, we press escape. Now we're back in the normal mode. Now we do move down two lines with pressing J, J, J. Now we see, okay, we want to change the 2. For that reason, we press B to go the back one word. And now I simply press the dot, and the dot repeats my action. So basically, my action that Vim now remembers is that I changed one word to 3. So I basically can go to any word now and replace it with 3 with just typing the dot. Well, with the dot command, we can now super fast do search and replace. Basically, Vim also has search and replace, and I know this may not come into the mind to use manual searching and replacing, but for example, if you want to only change specific occurrences of the search result that you have, then it's pretty cool because you just search for something. Let's go here and search for 3. And then I can move to the next. Slash brings me into search mode, and where I type along. I press enter, and then I find some word. This is what I've done here. The search results are highlighted. And now I can change a word, for example. I can change 3 to just 3. And then I can jump to the next found one, and I can just press dot again, and it will do the job for me. And with replacing just one word, this might not look so much powerful, but you can do much more actions. You can, for example, if you have a scenario where you have on the occurrence of one word, delete the next 3 words. This is a pretty powerful thing at hand, because you don't have to think a lot. I know there are a lot of magic happening in search and replace tools where you can enter regular expressions and stuff, but you don't have to think about any regular expression. You just have to do it once, and then you can go along, and for the rest of the file or multiple files, you can repeat your actions. What we also can do is repeat our search, so that the find in line, not the search. Find in line repeat is the semicolon. So just for this example, I see that I have written an and wrong. I have 2 A's there, and I want to remove it. First thing that will come into my mind, okay, jump to the A. If I press F, A, find character A, then I'm at around, because I've missed that there is an A already somewhere in the line. And instead of just repeating my find command, I can quickly just go with pressing a semicolon. I'm here, and I can remove the doubled A. And for automation, some other example or some other technique that you can do for sure. Vim has also some way to record your actions. So this is really powerful because you pretty soon get what your result will be if you change one line. You can start a recording pressing Q, and then some character. So the character afterwards is the kind of register where your action gets stored. It's quite straightforward. If you just press QQ and you have the Q register to store it there, and to repeat your automation, so you play the actions you have just taken, you press the add Q command. We can probably, if there's some time left, we can see some example as well. So short notes to the Vim automation. The automation is super, super powerful, and it, for example, if you search and replace, and this is not enough for the challenge you have to take or for the task at hand, then Vim will probably be the right choice to do it. The thing is, just if you do it once, that's super, that's awesome. If you have to do it regularly, then you're way faster if you use some scripting, some programming language, whatever, for sure, because you will retype again, and Vim is not just meant that you can quickly do one job. Another hint that I already told in some ways, if you're unsure about what an action will do, just use Visual. That is super helpful. For example, I can change the inner of a paragraph, which sometimes writing text might not be clear what is meant by the paragraph. But if I visualize the inner paragraph, then I see exactly, okay, these are the two lines here, and I can change it by pressing C. So I have one keystroke more, but I will see exactly what I'm going to do. Especially if you then see you have something edited that you don't, you have something visualized that you don't want to edit, you can just move around with the navigation modes and change it then. Another hint is Vim has many, 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 many different actions that you can take, and learning them step by step really helps to improve your navigation and to save some shortcuts. For example, switching to insert mode, we have already seen, if you delete some word and you want to change it, then it has a shorthand, the C command, that you change it directly and you delete something and enter the insert mode. Same approach is here. We have, for example, if we are somewhere and we press I, then I switches into the insert mode, and it does this by moving in front of our cursor. But what if we want to start writing behind our cursor, so on the next thing, which is done by the A, and you can think of it by append. This is the mnemonic to remember it. So if I'm an O and I press A, then I'm behind. If I'm at O and I press E, then I'm before the O. It's just one, it already saves you one keystroke. The thing is, now that I know I and A, so insert and append, and I now figure out that uppercase I has also a shorthand to go to the beginning of a line and start a long typing. So it's the same then pressing 0 and I can press also with one short code. Same is for A, for sure. A will go to the end of a line, and I can write along at the end of a line. Additionally, something that happens quite often is you want to insert a new line, so you can just do this with O, which is basically the same, then append, enter, and type along, but it already saves you again one command. And probably what you already would expect, if I press the uppercase O, it creates a new line, but before the current line. And this is just what we've seen so far is mostly the magic that you can do in the normal mode. There's also tons of commands you can use in the command mode, which is really, really helpful, especially if you're very used to work in shell. You will see that you can combine it with any tools at hand. And for sure, Vim is highly configurable. You can find plugins for everything. Some examples that I use a lot is fuzzy finding to open files. So if I want to find some file, I can just type parts of it and I can open it directly. File browsers, inbuilt file browsers as plugins, or for sure if you're a software developer, there are a lot of test suites that you can run directly, code formatting and syntax analyzers and so on. So great to check out. Okay, now that there's some time left, I want to show you some real world examples that I've prepared. So, something that happens to me quite often is, for example, if you have some Markdown file or some other kind of text file, and you have some ordered list, and the only thing that you want to do is to change it to some unordered list, so to replace the increasing numbers with minus. First thing that will come to my mind here is, okay, I can record a macro. I can record some action and then replay it for the rest of the lines. In this example, I see every line has a dot. Until the dot, I want to change something. So I will probably go with find the character dot. And what I would suggest here is, for example, first of all, I will press QQ, which will start recording. Then I will change until you find the character dot. Then it will get removed and I'm in insert mode. So I will press space and minus and escape. Then let's type escape. Then I will be in normal mode again, but I'm still in the line that I have just edited. So if I want to replay my commands, I want to go to the next line so I can immediately repeat them. So I will go to the next line. And from the next line, I will just stop the recording. So let's execute this. So QQ, and it shows me recording into register queue. Change find dot, space minus, escape, JQ. Okay, what I missed is to go to the beginning of the line, so I messed my recording up. But I think you get the idea. So what I also, let's make it nicely. So again, QQ, change find dot, minus, go to the next line. Okay, and now I missed to get a space, but let's ignore it. I press Q, so I've recorded it. I can replay it. I can now say I have 10 lines left, so I press 10 times, play my recording, and I'm done with replacing my list. If you get used to Vim, then you will say, oh, this is a quite high goal score for such an easy task. What you can do is you can just go here, and the visual mode has, besides that I can just press V and visualize some text, I can press the uppercase V, which the first modifier, then I can line-wise mark the text. And additionally, I can press Control V. And Control V, you see a hint in the bottom left, switches to visual block mode. In this block mode, I can move around and I can make a block of text marked. And now I can change it directly, insert the minus, escape, and I'm done. So this is way quicker. For sure, I can also go the way back. However, this is quite tricky already. So I press again the visual control V, the visual block mode. Then I press C to insert something. I insert 0 for all of them. Then I mark them again. And then I go, and there's Vim has some built-in increase, so it can recognize some numbers, and you can press a command to increase or decrease it. Increase is Control A, and I can say increase it for every line, which is a modifier G and A, and then I'm done. Okay, I see there's not the right intention. So I just go here and insert a space again with block mode. Another example, so say you have received some CSV data, and you received it one time, and you only have to do this job once, and you know the application that you will feed with your CSV data, it has the wrong format for the date. Here's the German date format for the people, and we need the US format. So you want to change it easily. One thing here already, I have opened 50,000 lines file, and you can see it takes no second to jump around there to search something in there. So if you have large files, this is a great thing to do because it saves you so much time if you don't want to start programming something. Because if you have larger files, you probably will not import in I don't know, some spreadsheet and start manipulating it. Because if it has like hundreds of megabytes, this probably won't work. Here we can use a macro again. And the thing is, the macro is not super fast, but it works. So why not use it? So you just grab a cup of coffee until your task is done. So here, let's start the macro. I'm at the beginning of a file, press QQ. For this example, I will probably go to three times find the comma. Then I'm here. Then I will insert the two minuses that we will use later. Then I find backwards, which is the uppercase F, also easy to remember. Uppercase F, delete backwards. Let's find the first minus and paste what we just deleted afterwards. Then again, let's two times find backwards the dot, then I delete back again. Then let's find the second minus. Oh, this was wrong. I guess I messed this up. Okay, so you see, can be useful, but can also take some time until you get the right macro that you want. I won't try again. I'm at the beginning of a line, I jump to the... three times find minus, then insert, escape, find backwards the dot, delete back, find minus, then two times find backwards the dot, delete backwards. So now I do it in a different way. I find the next comma and I paste it backwards. And then I find backwards the comma, go once right, two times press X to delete it, escape, go to the beginning of a line, go to the next line, and I stop the recording because I don't want to mess anything up. And I can replay it now. And for this I have 50,000 lines, so I type 50,000. And I just repeat it, and it will take some time, but after some time will probably be finished. I hope it will finish in 2 minutes. Until then, let's finish with the last two slides. If you got interested and you want to... So it started, and this is basically just the screen is loading. So it's already done, but the output still has to go there. But it's, you see, 50,000 lines, and you even cannot drink one coffee, so... if you got interested, if you want to start Vim, or if you need some, if you already have worked with it and you forgot everything about it, Vim ships with Vim Tutor. It's just a command that you can, if you have installed Vim, you can also run this command, and this is a tutor that goes through the most basic. I would suggest you find someone who already uses Vim. This is the most help. This helped me the most. That was basically the reason why I had stick to Vim. My Vim configuration is at GitHub, and as a last note, this presentation is also at GitHub. So everything, I also summarized all keys on all actions that I used. So if you want to look them up again, also the slides are up with all the examples, and I also the examples are commented with everything you need to know. Thank you so much. Do we have some time for questions? No, I'm sorry. But I will be around. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me. Thank you.